over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts today, and we're going to be in Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 today, and we're going to be looking here. Let's read a little bit of the Word of God this morning in Acts chapter number 20 and begin in verse number 17. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. This is Paul's last meeting with the Ephesians. His last meeting with the Ephesians. He has spoke to them on several occasions. He has visited them and helped them. He's written a letter to them. But now he is seeing them for the last time as he announces to them. And we do know, and it is a fact, that it is the last time that he sees them for. Just after this, he goes to Jerusalem and he's bound up and he's sent off to Rome on his final, if you would like to call it, missionary journey by prison boat. But nonetheless, in this passage today, in the book of Acts chapter number 20, we will notice something very particular here at the end of it. Our text this morning, as it was even in your bulletins, especially that last part of verse number 35, where it says, as Jesus said, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. But let us begin the whole thing back at verse number 17. Let's start here in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. The Bible says, now and from Miletus he was sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. The question I have for us is it truly a blessing to give? Or is it, as it is in most people's eyes, is it more of a blessing to receive? Most people, when they would say that it is more of a blessing to receive, in fact, there have been studies that have shown that when that question has been asked, that the overwhelming of a majority of people would say that it's more blessed to get. More, I'm happier to get something than I am when I give something. But that's simply not what the Word of God says. He says, and he quotes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and though you'll never find those words, don't be alarmed, okay? Those words are not in the gospel, all right? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But don't worry whatsoever, because at the end of John chapter number 21, we have our bases covered, because John says to us that if all the things that Jesus had done and had said were to be written, he says, I think not that the whole volumes of all the books of all the whole entire world would be able to contain them. Jesus said a whole lot more than is written down for us. But this one thing is preserved for us, that he did say these particular words, and if you have a red letter edition, it's probably highlighted right there in front of you. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Others have said it in similar fashions. I like what Winston Churchill said. He said it like this: we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. It's almost like the difference between a house and a home, right? A lot of people live in a house. Not a lot of people live in a home. And we're thankful for those that have given to us. Anne Frank said this. She says, no one has ever become poor by giving. No one ever became poor by giving. And it's sad that she didn't get to live out those dreams, dying at the age of 14 years old. But she was well beyond her years in understanding that little phrase, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, we can look over science, we can tell by experience, and we can obviously tell by the authority, Jesus Christ, that giving is more blessed than it is to receive something. Now, the question I have for us this morning is, first of all, what do we give? What do we give? I don't know if I could really begin to tell you. There is a list of a million things I think we all could perhaps possibly give to one another. It could be as simple as buying a cup of coffee for all your coworkers in the morning. It could be helping out a missionary. It could be as even as simple as what Jesus said, giving somebody a cup of cold water. Giving can be demonstrated in a million different ways. It's not just found in talent. It's not just found with our money. It can be found with time that we give. In fact, I think time is probably the most precious thing that we can give. Money can always be gotten back. Does that make sense? If I give $100, I can work into the next week and make another $100 back. But here's the thing. If I give a portion of my time to somebody, I can never get that time back. I can never go rewind the clock and get it back. And we ought to be careful in what we think about giving, and that giving goes much more deeper than just perhaps giving some money in the plate or perhaps throwing some money in a red kettle around this time of year. Giving goes much deeper. And today I want us to see really the character of giving. What is the character of giving? What does giving actually look like according to the Scriptures? Giving is not just something that we do, but I think, in fact, that giving is, in fact, something who we truly are if we are in Christ Jesus the Lord. We are to be giving people. If that's what we truly are in Christ, if we are a Christian, we will be a giving people. Because why? Because we are a changed people. And that change has produced in us a love and a compassion and a care for others. We don't have the time to go back through it, but I was reading this morning what he gave, Paul did, to the Ephesians. Did you listen to some of the things he gave to them? He gave them the word. He gave them his time. He gave them his tears. He gave them his effort. He gave them his energy. He gave them his life. He gave them his living. He says, I didn't even covet your gold. I provided for my own self, my own living, my own wayfare, and even not only mine, but those that were with me. I gave it all to you. I laid it all on the line so that you could be encouraged and helped in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that you could be lifted up, as he says, in the word of his grace and be edified and be built up. And all that is demonstrated through the act of giving, of giving. And I draw this out, and I did last week too, and we'll do it two more times. There's some particular ways. And as I said last week, I wanted to talk about giving for a couple of weeks because we are so focused so many times on what giving is not. Giving is not just simply giving somebody a Christmas present and think I've done my duty for the year or something like that. Giving goes so much deeper than this. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. Is there any greater gift than that? Than the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. The greatest gift of all given to us. But number one, the character of giving, first of all, it matters as this, is that then the character of giving is that giving matters is that size is not of importance in giving. Size is not of an importance in giving. Oftentimes people get a misidea that we interpret that giving ought to be big. We too many times think in terms of bigness, that if a gift isn't big enough, then it's not worth very much. But such is not just not true. Not true at all. Jesus was able to raise the dead, right? A very big gift. But he was also concerned whenever Peter's mother was lying ill of a fever, and he healed her there. Jesus wasn't just concerned with the big things, but he was concerned with the little things. He was concerned with just a little fever, concerned with just a little girl. He was concerned with just a lady that had an issue of blood. He was concerned with little things in life, and he was willing to feed the 5,000s, but he was also willing to even provide wine for a marriage. Think about that. Amazing whenever you consider the bignesses and the little things that Jesus Christ is important, that he was concerned about. See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man that a man hath, not according to a man, according to a, that a man hath not. God is not concerned with what we don't have to give. Am I right? He's not looking at your wallet and saying, you should make some more money. You should give a little bit more, even though you don't have it. No, he's concerned about what we do have. Somebody has said one time, if I won the lottery, if I won $1 million, I'd give a lot of it back to the Lord. Hey, I'm not concerned about what you would get, and God isn't concerned about what you might have, but what are you doing with what you have right now? That will test you to see what you would really do if somebody gave you $1 million. If you're being faithful in the small things, then perhaps God may even bless you and allow you to be faithful in the large things. God is not looking for some grand, extraordinary gift, but he's looking for us to give according to what we have and not according to what we don't have. He knows our limitations and he knows our hearts. Perhaps the worst thing we can do in giving, I think sometimes is this, is to think to ourselves, it is not enough. That's just not enough. Or that we get tempted in some way in thinking that we just don't have very much to give. We must fight such temptations. We must fight the temptation to think that we don't have very much. How many times has a teacher been blessed by perhaps a student that just simply all they had to give was an apple? How many of you parents have been overjoyed perhaps by the fact that your child didn't have much to give, but perhaps a scribbled on piece of artwork that they made at school? How many of you parents have still saved scribbled on artwork pieces from school? Anybody still got a few? All right. They didn't have much to give. What if the child said, well, I can't draw very good, or I'm not a very good artist, or I'm not very good at this. And they just said, oh, just forget it. I won't do anything. No, children aren't like that. They want to give. They're desirous to give. All of you know that because you watch them every Sunday morning as they come up here and they put money inside of this jar. They want to give something. And I think as parents and as adults and as even into the teenage years, we lose that spirit, that desire to give, that want to give, that happiness that comes from giving to others and giving in every sort of way. I was reading about a controlled experiment that Liz Dunn, a psychologist, did. She gave the students of British Columbia an envelope that had in it that, and she said that they could either do one of two things, that they either had the opportunity, some did, to spend the money on themselves, or group number two had the were to spend it upon themselves before 5 p.m. After the study was done, those that had gifted others were happier in every single case. And those that had gifted themselves were not as happy. Even what was funny was about the study was this, though the students didn't know it, is that in some of the envelopes were only $5 bills. And some of the envelopes were $20 bills. But what was interesting about the study is that it didn't matter if somebody only gave somebody $5 or $20. They were still just as happy. It didn't matter. It didn't matter to them. It was a little bit or a lot. The amount never mattered whatsoever. And ironically, when asked to predict the outcome, whenever everybody sat down in class and the experiment was done, the survey was given, how many do you think that it is you would be happier if you actually were able to spend it upon yourselves? And the overwhelming majority of the class raised their hand. Even the ones that have given to somebody else. We are sometimes so many times deceived into thinking that if I had a little bit more, then I could help somebody else. If I had a little bit more of this, then perhaps I could do more for others. But that is false thinking, my friend. Christ, what was he? He was a poor carpenter's boy. Paul, what was he? He turned out to be just a pauper himself, having not very much on his missionary journeys. But God used these men in tremendous ways to give and to help others. I've read several studies about that this week. I read some studies where they actually spent several thousands of dollars to perform MRIs on people's brains in the happiness core, whatever that is. I don't know where that is. I can't find it. I'm not a neurologist. But the happiness core was found out that people were genuinely, scientifically more happy when they gave. They did another study on people that were older, people that were perhaps 70, 80, 90, 20, 70, 90, 80, what am I saying? 70, 80, 90, perhaps even 100 years old that live longer lives. And most specifically, what was interesting, their blood pressure was lower if they had a life that was characterized with giving. Now, I'm glad today to report to you that I don't have to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to come up with these tests. But I can look right here in the Word of God, and I can tell you with all authority, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But since somebody else did it, I just thought I'd share it with you, all right? Number two, go over to the book of John. Chapter number 12. I want to point out two instances here. This is just a brief point. I'll hurry on with this, but never think that your gift is too small. I just have to say this, but can we not all think of the most famous illustration? The widow's two mites. Who was the Lord Jesus more pleased with? Those that cast in out of their abundance, or was he more pleased with the lady that cast in the two mites? Size is no importance to God. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He would not ask us if he was hungry, even if he was. Secondly, I'll be quick with this point, though, is that oftentimes giving is criticized. In fact, many times, gifts of all sizes, big and small, are criticized by people. And we've all been guilty of this, all right? Now, don't blow up like a banty rooster right here and get prouder on yourself, okay? We've all been like this. We see some person, hear some person giving X amount of dollars to some association, some organization, and we make a remark that says something like this, well, if I had that, I don't understand why they gave that much to that. If I had that money, then I would have used it in a much different way. I can't believe they would spend that kind of money on those kinds of things. We've all said that. We've all been in that boat where we think we could do it just a little bit better. Every man will be judged of his own works, all right? You don't judge them for what they give their money to. You know what you worry about? What you give your money to. What you give your time to. What you give your attention to. What you give your life to, all right? Paul says, I'm judged of no man because I judge myself, all right? We'd do a lot better off if we just judged numero uno, instead of judging everybody else around us. We'd have a lot better results in life. Think about that one little lad, and we won't turn there, but I have you in John 12, but I want to mention first of all is that the little lad that gave his lunch. Do you think that he thought that gift was too small? I don't think that he did at all. I think he had an understanding, a belief like a child, to understand that he was giving this 5 loaves and 2 fishes to a particular person that could do something great with them. And what was he going to give to them? He's going to give them this little lunch, and God was going to do something great through that lunch. It was small and insignificant. But even though it was small and insignificant, think about it. Andrew criticized the little boy, didn't he not? He said, Lord, there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes here, but what are these among so many? Your gift could be very small, and oftentimes gifts are criticized, and understand that and believe that, but let us be careful to not be criticizing somebody's little gift, little thing, the little money that comes up in here, the little dollar bills that are dropped into the missionary offering. And I keep using that as an example, as an illustration, because it's fresh in our minds, but it's dropped up into there. But those little gifts, those little dollars, they add up and they add up and they add up until one day there's $500 in there, and you're able to bless some missionary on their journeys and send them on the way as God would want us to do so. But understand, small things God is able to use. In fact, God is pleased with small things. But secondly, big gifts are criticized. You're in John 12. In John 12, we have in front of us here of the story of when Mary of Bethany comes to offer her pound of spikenard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 3, it says this, "And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, it says, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" He just kind of, if I had that money, I would have given it to the poor. And that's a lot of times people think like that. Oh, I can't believe they would do that. Why was it not sold? Understand my spirit here when I say this. Last week we had a great missionary that came in through to us. He's been used great of the Lord, Brother Blanchard. But my father-in-law relates to me that there were some people that looked at him and said, "What is this man? What is he doing? Why is he? He can't be a missionary. He doesn't have the education. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have the accolades. He doesn't have those things." And you know what? God has used the man greatly, and he's seen 3 churches started over there on the mission field. He's seen souls saved and baptized, and he's already sent off other missionaries to foreign lands and other churches started out of the works that God has led him to. Let us be so careful not to be critical of the gifts that other people give. Maybe they give of their own selves, of their own life. One of the most famous stories I think of was a young boy who in school, who at the time his third grade teacher did not know it, but he had a very disruptive childhood. He lost his mother at a young age, and he'd become very disruptive in school. His dad worked all kinds of odd hours just to try to provide for the family. And one day, around this time of year, around a Christmas time or whenever it was, the children were accustomed to bringing in gifts for the children. One gift was brought in after another, and gifts of all kinds of ornate things and beautiful things. And she opened up one gift, and inside it was some cheap perfume and some broken earrings. Immediately, the whole class erupted in laughter at the sight of such a ghastly gift. You know how children can be rude, but let us be careful to not criticize children, for oftentimes we are rude too, yet under our breath. She saw the laughter, and she immediately saw the young Charles's eyes bow down in humility and shame. But he quickly popped his head back up when she sprayed the perfume upon her wrist and rubbed it together and said, "Oh, wow, this smells so good."
And she put the earrings on, and the rest of the class kind of oohed and awed and gasped, and Charles looked up to her with a smile. And funny thing was that Charles's grades began to improve a little bit. And the next year, he went on and he improved a little bit more, and he got out of elementary school and went on to middle school, then into high school, and he wrote a letter to Mrs. Smith, and in the letter he said, "Mrs. Smith, I'm doing so well. Thank you for all your kindness and consideration that you have given to me in my life. Been such a wonderful thing. I'm just writing to let you know that I'm graduating second in my class this year. Thank you for all your care." She didn't hear from Charles for several years until about 4 or 5 years later. And this time, another letter was written to her. And she said, "Mrs. Smith, things have been going very well. I'm sorry it's been so long that I've written to you. But I want to let you know that this time I'm not second in my class, but I really am thankful that this year I've graduated valedictorian of my college class." Charles went on to go on to be a doctor and graduate medical school. Mrs. Smith received one more letter from him. He said, "Mrs. Smith, I'd like to invite you to my wedding. The care and compassion that you have shown to me from those early days of my third grade years were so motherly and so kind. And I'd like for you to sit in the place where my mother would have sat." She cordially and delightfully said, "I will." You see, it's just a small thing. He gave a small thing to her, but what she gave back to him was so much greater. He gave back to her just a very small, she gave back to him just a very small show of kindness and gratitude and just said, "Thank you," and said, "Wow, this is great." While others criticize and while others laugh, let us be careful not to criticize the gift of others. And thirdly, let us, when we give, let us not expect anything in return. Perhaps this is the worst thing we can do in giving, is that we have this idea that if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's the way the philosophy of the world works, doesn't it? It says, "You do for me and I'll do for you." Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 46, the Bible says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" If our life becomes consumed with ourselves and we truly want to receive more than we want to give, then are we perhaps demonstrating that we might not know truly about the love of God that we have received? That we might not know and we might not have experienced what God has given to us? Either we are completely off base or we're entirely ignorant of the scriptures, or just plainly, it might be that we're children of the world and not children of God. Because children of God have a desire, have a want to. It's in their hearts to give because that's their Father's spirit. Their Father's spirit is a giving spirit. And He puts His spirit into us now that we are children of God. And now that we are children of God, we have been given His spirit, and we have been given a spirit of love and care and compassion, a spirit of giving. Not of taking, not of wanting. I'm careful to say this, but if your attitude, it is more blessed to receive than it is to give, you perhaps would want to check your Christianity. Because that is not Christianity. That might be churchianity. That might be selfianity. But that's not Christianity. Christianity says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can we not all remember what God did for with His own Son? He says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive because He not only has done this by truth, but He's done it by experience. And it is so powerful whenever somebody teaches us by not only truth, but also by experience. God understands these things because this is what God has done. Expect nothing in return. Give, because that's what God would want you to do. Give, because that's the way that God would want you to live. It is the character of a Christian to give. That is all we'll see today. There's much more to look at this character of Christian giving. Let me ask you one more time. Let me tell you. Are you intimidated by the fact that you don't have very much? Do you ever criticize others for their gifts? Do you expect something for what you have done? Let all of those thoughts be put out of our minds today. Those are all false thinking for the Christian. No gift is too small for God. When you give, expect nothing in return. As Anne Frank said it very well, is that no one has ever been made poor by giving. And let us be careful not to be judgmental of those that give their time and their sacrifice and their service. Mrs. Smith's young student, Charles, went on to be a great man because one person cared. One person showed what true giving is. Giving out of love, compassion, and care. May God help us to do the same.